It's Susie from MERP, and I'm here with Brody from Rivers of Nile. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Good. February 2012, Metal Sucks referred to Rivers of Nile as the best new death metal band you'll hear this year. How important was that to you?
Oh, that was huge. I'm pretty sure that was when we were on a DIY tour, like before we were signed and everything. We were playing in Brooklyn that night, and I'm pretty sure that we saw that post on Metal, was it Metal Sucks, you
Metal
said?
Sucks.
Yeah, we saw that post like as we were going into New York, and we were like so excited because we had never been posted about on like a big website like that. And then we, I'm pretty sure we met Ben and a couple of the people from Metal Sucks that night at the show, so it was a pretty like, it was a pretty big moment for us at that point, I would say.
Do you pay attention to like reviews and critics and chart markers like that?
I mean, like, as far as like as much as I can while still remaining healthy about it, you know, like I don't really let it consume me, but you know, it's always like it's cool to like read stuff every now and then, positive and negative. You know, I actually enjoy reading the negative stuff as much as I like the positive because it's fun, you know.
Your new album Where Owls Know My Name has received great reviews, and I'm wondering, the writing process for that one, was it different than any other previous album?
I mean, it was pretty much the same as our record before. Pretty much the same writing process as our record before, where it was me at my studio in my home, just basically writing the songs, recording them, sending them out to the guys, and then the guys kind of putting their own touches on the songs, and then us rehearsing and then recording them. So the last two records have been done that way. Our first record was recorded down in Florida with Eric Rutan, who did like Cannibal Corpse and Hate Eternal and Morbid Angel. So our first record was different, but the last two have been pretty much the same process.
So the name, Where Owls Know My Name, does that have anything to do with like who? Because owls say who?
I don't write any of the lyrics. Our bass player, Adam, does. But it's really kind of just like a metaphor for, like, isolation and kind of like, you know, going to a place away from the rest of the world where only the nature that surrounds you is aware of your presence, nature being owls. So, but yeah, we've had people ask us, like, is it a Twin Peaks reference, you know, stuff like that. But no, it's not. He's got this whole big story backline to the whole thing. So
we kind of figured that. So Monarchy was more of a deserty, sandy feel, and this one's more nature-inspired, it seemed.
It's a fall-themed record. So, like, our first record was a spring-themed record, our second one was a summer, and this third one now is autumn, so, and then our next one will be winter, so.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
A cool way to do it.
Yeah.
So would you agree that the music on this one is more melodic and magical and experimental?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we really kind of just put all our cards on the table on this one and just really did whatever we wanted to do. So I would say it's got a special feel compared to the other records for me personally, just because kind of we're able to let out some of our more obscure influences and stuff that we might not normally put on a record.
You guys are from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
So technical death metal, you must be fans of Revocation being on the East Coast. And
yeah, I mean, we've played our first show with Revocation back in 2010 when they were on their first U.S. tour, actually. So we've known them for... We kind of knew them back then, but we really became good friends with those guys back in 2014 when we toured with them and Whitechapel. So we've been, like, real good buds with them ever since then.
And you will go on the European tour with them.
Yep.
Have you been there before? Have you done that?
Yeah, we were actually there with them in 2016 with Obscura and Beyond Creation. So both times we'll have gone to Europe, we'll have been with Revocation.
So the album artwork for this one and for Monarchy were done by the same person?
And for the first one. Yeah, okay. It's all Dan Seagrave.
Okay, how do you communicate what you want? I mean, because when we looked at the album cover and listened to the album, we knew the nature and the magical feel. So you did a really good job communicating that to the artist. Do you talk to them about it, or do you give them the album?
We basically, like, with him, it's kind of cool because on our first record, when we were looking for artists, you know, we basically sent out this kind of, like, seasonal concept thing that we have to, like, a whole bunch of different artists. And, you know, a lot of them kind of just, like, didn't really pay attention to us, but Dan Seagrave kind of reached back to us, like, right away and was like, I'm really into this whole seasonal thing. I want to do it. I want to do, you know, all of your records. So basically, we just sent him the lyrics and, like, a general kind of, like, idea about what we might want to see on the record, and he pretty much just kills it, like, the first time. Like, what you see as our album artwork, that was literally his first shot. So, I mean, he just, like, he's so good at nailing what we're going for.
I'll never get his name right, but Ishan of Emperor, on his solo album, he used saxophone,
yeah.
And also The Shining. So, are those inspirations for you to do that on this album?
I mean, I'd probably be lying if I said that they weren't, but I feel like most of the influence for the sax on these, on our record, was more of, like, we're big fans of, like, 70s, like, prog and rock and stuff like that. Like, you know, I mean, Pink Floyd is, like, one of my biggest like influences, King Crimson, Yes, like those bands, and they oftentimes would, you know, incorporate brass into their music, and I always thought that was a really cool move. So I mean, I would say more of the influence came from those bands, but I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said that, you know, I didn't hear Isan and think like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know.
Are you a fan of Morphine?
I've never heard of them.
Okay, they're very they're jazzy, bluesy, and like Taxi Driver kind of
What are they called again?
Morphine.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think they're in existence anymore. The singer died on stage.
Oh,
yeah, like heart attack or something.
Wow.
On that same line, the question from that local band said, so for Rivers of Nile, they pulled inspiration from Pink Floyd in their newest album. We were curious about their thought process of how they conceptualized the integration of woodwinds and brass instruments into their sound.
Well, it was kind of by accident, really, because I have a friend named Zach Strauss and another friend named Jordan Straub. In his band, there's a guy who played trumpet. And so anyway, I knew these people, and I had these big open sections on the record that were like kind of just empty. And like I was thinking, like, what am I going to occupy these spaces with? Like, should I put like a really long guitar solo, which like I'm not a huge fan of just like putting guitar solos in places just for the sake of having them. But out of just like, you know, on the off chance that it worked, I hit up Zach and I was like, hey, you want to try recording some saxophone on these parts? And he did. And like, it like just clicked so well. And same thing with the guy who recorded trumpet, Sean. He played trumpet on the song Terrestria 3. And, you know, it was honestly just like me being like, hey, you want to try this out? It wasn't really something that we conceptualized ahead of time. It just was like a happy accident, I guess.
Nice when you incorporate other instruments. Like there's some like Tasmania, New Zealand, and Australian that do the didgeridoo, and it's starting to see that more and more. I hope people do that more and more.
Yeah.
Are there any other instruments you'd like to incorporate?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it would really work on one of our records, but I'm a big fan of Steven Wilson from Porcupine Tree and his solo project. And he, on his newest record, he put harmonica on his new record, and he made it sound so sick. I don't know if it would work for us, but I'd like to, you know, I'd like to have more like maybe electronic stuff on a record, like more like of like the old like synths and stuff that like you might hear on like a Nine Inch Nails record or something like that. I'm a big fan of like everything that Trent Reznor's ever done, so maybe more like hardware synths. I don't know, probably that or harmonica, but I don't know if that would work so well. We'll see.
Try it.
Yeah.
Are there any current bands that you think have a great sound? Any new current bands?
So there's a band from Chicago called Warforged. They're really good friends of ours, and they're about to release a full-length record that, in my opinion, is a game-changing album for the genre. I've never heard anything like it, and I wouldn't say that unless I really believed it. That record is so good. I've heard the whole thing, and it's amazing. But they're going to be doing some stuff coming up. I think they're talking to someone about releasing it, who they're going to release it through. But Warforged is really great from Chicago. That band, I think they're from the UK, called, I messed their name up, but it's Sluggaged. It's like Sluggede. When I saw their album cover, I was like, oh, this is going to be like some silly party thrash band, because their logo was like all, you know, like slime, you know. And but when I listened to it, it was like some of the coolest like progressive death metal that I've heard in recent times. Them and then like Black Crown Initiate, obviously, we're from the same town as them, and our bass players, his girlfriend is Andy's sister from Black Crown, so we're all kind of like tied in with each other. But yeah, so Warforged, Sluggage, and Black Crown Initiate, definitely.
Some of your videos are really serious and some of them are really funny. Can you make any song that you write funny or serious, or does the song dictate the direction of the video?
I mean, you know, ideally, if like it was the glory days of, you know, the 90s when bands were getting like $100,000 to do music videos, I think we would do like really serious, like conceptual music videos for everything. But like, you know, things have changed, and I think that we work with what we have. And sometimes, you know, when we run out of ideas and we run out of time, we just have to do a music video. Stuff like our video for Sand Baptism, where our singer dresses up as a sun costume. Stuff like that happens where we're kind of just out of time, out of ideas. We're like, well, how's this, you know? But like on the video we just released for Where Owls Know My Name, that's actually like probably the darkest song on the record, but it turned into like kind of a funny music video. So the way that a music video turns out kind of just is a reflection of how much time and how much funding we have, and really what ideas we're able to come up with, you know.
Do you feel like you're on the path you envisioned when you first started?
Now, do I think we're on the path? You know, I think we've always kind of been flying by the seat of our pants. I don't know that we had, like, I don't think that if you would have told me 5 years ago that we would sound like this now, that I would have thought that back then, because our influences have completely changed since then. We've changed members. So I think that the change in sound has kind of just like, it's a result of us getting older, us changing members, us changing, you know, what bands we're listening to. So I think on every record, I don't really know that we set out with like a specific vision. We just kind of like let happen what will happen, and then, you know, it's worked out for us most of the time. So.
Does technology play a part in that at all? Like, as new things come out that you can do? And
yeah, I mean, like, when we recorded our first record, I didn't know how to record. I record our guitar and our bass on all of our records and some other things. I think through learning how to record and how to use like newer recording technology and software and hardware stuff, I think that's really pushed my writing in a good direction, because I can, you know, I can sit at my house and, you know, dissect things and try as many things as I want to try, you know, without having to pay somebody to do it for me. Like, you know, whereas before we would have to go to the studio and be on the clock and be paying money to like experiment with stuff. So I think that through learning how to do that stuff myself, that really like kickstarted a kind of a new movement for the band.
What's your dreams for Rivers of Nile moving forward?
You know, if all of us as a, you know, band could just play music for a living and not have to worry about real life when we get home, you know, getting back on the work grind, you know, that would be really nice. But I think that, you know, more realistic goal is just to play as many new places as possible. I think next year we're going to be hitting some new continents that we haven't played before. So I think right now more realistic goal is to just try to play in as many new places as we possibly can.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
We're going to Europe and the UK 2 months from now. If anyone's listening to this, we're still on this tour. We'll be on this tour for about half of this month. And yeah, just pick up the new record, come out to a show, say hi.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you're welcome.